We're studying action words which the Bible connects with God's name. And we've seen so far that God provides, that He heals, that He leads, that He sanctifies, that He pacifies, and that He sees us. Back in Exodus chapter 17, verse 15, we saw that He led us in the sense that He was our banner. That's a military metaphor. But now we come to the beloved 23rd Psalm, where God is described as a shepherd. Even though He leads us, now I'm using the word guide. God guides us as a shepherd. There are 9 other passages in the Old Testament which compare the people of God to sheep. There are 6 other Old Testament passages which describe God as a shepherd. Then when we come to the New Testament, Jesus appropriates this same metaphor and teaches in John chapter 10 that He is the good shepherd who laid down His life for the sheep. Let me read from John chapter 10, beginning at verse 9. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, the question that we're looking at this morning is, what does this entail? How does God guide us? And I'm suggesting that in Psalm 23, we see His guidance through His provision, through His restoration, and through His direction. And so let's unpack that first, looking at the idea that God provides. And in Psalm 23, the picture is that He provides green pastures, sometimes even in the presence of our enemies. And so our cup overflows with goodness and mercy. He provides tranquil waters which restore us. Here David is remembering how he grew up as a shepherd boy, and he remembers those grass meadows. We sing a song that's in our hymnal. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites His chosen people, come and dine. Well, as sheep, they would graze in the morning, and then they would lie and rest for 3 or 4 hours in the afternoon. Yet, they are nearly blind and defenseless against wolves and coyotes and cougars and dogs. And so the shepherd would have to check ahead of time for poisonous weeds, for snakes. He would have to be on guard against predators. Now, while the sheep eat and while they are resting, the shepherd is always on the lookout, and so his rod is a weapon that he uses to defend the sheep. We need green pastures that are nourishing and safe, and God provides a banquet often even on the battlefield. And so this passage that we're so familiar with says that my cup runs over. Goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. I would suggest that goodness and mercy are like guardian angels. Goodness goes before me, and when I fail, mercy comes along behind me. I know these are uncertain times in which we live, but I assure you that goodness lies ahead for the Christian because God is our shepherd and He is concerned with our provision. Let me just elaborate on that. Sheep are afraid of running water. If their woolen coat becomes soaked with that water, it will become so heavy that they may drown in the stream. And even if a sheep is thirsty, it will not drink from a running stream because of that fear of drowning. And so what the shepherd will do is take his staff and pry loose a few large rocks and dam up the water so that the sheep can drink still water. Thank God for his provision for us. But notice also his restoration of us. He comforts us with his rod and staff. He anoints our head with oil. The picture is that at the end of the day, as the sheep are returning to the fold, as they come under the rod, one at a time, the shepherd is not only counting, but he takes inventory of each one of them. He's checking for briars in their ears, for snags in their cheek, or for weeping eyes because of dust and scratches. Whenever a wound is found, it is anointed with oil. Now, sometimes we wonder and stray away from the fold, and when we reap the consequences, he finds us, and he restores us, and he heals us of our backsliding. The picture of the 99 is that as Jesus, the good shepherd, takes inventory of the sheep, he sees that one is missing, and so he goes out in the stormy night, and he calls your name, and he calls my name. If you hear him calling your name, don't run from him, but run toward him. He is not out looking for you in order that he might discipline you, but he's looking for you and calling your name in order that he might restore you in place of the guilt and condemnation that you may already now feel and sense. He can speak peace. He can set your mind at rest. He can forgive you. He can restore you. And so this is a beautiful picture that David gives of how God guides us as a shepherd, providing for us and restoring us. But thirdly, let's look at his direction. He guides us even through the valley of death, across to his house, where we dwell eternally. Sometimes the shepherd takes us over familiar territory, but sometimes we're taken to new territory. In any case, he is leading us in paths of righteousness. If I slip and fall, the shepherd's staff has a crook, and the shepherd can reach out and hook the sheep, lifting it to safety. In our hymnal, we sing, "Come Thou Fount," and there's a verse in this hymn that says, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it for thy courts above." Well, this hymn was written by a man named Robert Robinson in 1757. He was only 22 years old at the time, and he spent many of his years in the pastorate, but somehow in the later years of his life, Robinson, the author of the hymn, loses the way, and he himself wanders into the path of sin. This is so upsetting and disconcerting to him that he can't just remain at rest, and he decides to ramble and to travel. And in his travels, he meets someone that he confesses to about his backsliding. This lady quotes to him a hymn that she's familiar with. And she says, "Well, your experience sounds a little bit like what we sing. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." And she must have been surprised when he confessed that he himself was the author and written it many years earlier. But in this despair, she quotes from his own hymn another stanza, "Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise." And Robinson himself, with tears, turns back to God and falls on this stream of mercy that's never ceasing and trusts in that mercy. And so he himself was restored. Well, if we went through the hymnal, there are many hymns that use this metaphor as a shepherd and sheep. But let me remind you of this one. In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along, where the waters cool flow, bathes the weary one's feet. God leads his dear children along. And that's a beautiful picture of tranquility till we get to the chorus. And then the chorus says, some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. And we may object, I don't want to be led through water. I don't want to be led through flood. I don't want to be led through fire. But many times we feel like we are going through deep water. You, as you're listening now, may feel like you've gone through the fire. Sometimes we become disoriented, and sometimes we even lose hope. But the key word here is the word through. We're not led to the water to drown. We're not led to the fire to be consumed, but we're led through those things. God will not abandon us, and we'll not be consumed in our crisis. God will lead you through the crisis. And so here's the picture of the Good Shepherd, and he is guiding us, and we're all on a journey. Now let me contrast a couple philosophies with you very quickly. The pagan view of life is a wheel, and the wheel sort of symbolizes that everything goes through a cycle but never really gets anywhere. The rise and fall of this, the rise and fall of the Roman Empire, the rise and fall of your own life. The pagan view is of a wheel, but the biblical worldview is not a wheel, but a journey. We're on a journey. We're headed somewhere. We may have doubts and fears, and for many of us, the greatest fear is the fear of death itself. But if I can refer to another old song, you won't have to cross Jordan alone. When we walk through the valley of death, he will be with us, and we will pass through safely to the other side. And when we go through the valley of death and cross to the other side, we'll be at his home. And you say, well, what's he going to be like on the other side? Well, he has a place prepared for us, and we will dwell in his house forever. Now, we could speculate a lot about heaven, but there's much that we don't know or need to know. Here's what we need to know. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so he guides us through this life, guides us through the valley of death, but we're headed somewhere. We're not lost. We're not meandering, but we're on a journey that will lead us home. So, that leads me to another hymn. Listen to this prayer, and I hope it's yours as well. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. That's the picture of God guiding us as a shepherd. Now look at the second verse. Open now the crystal fountain, whence the healing journey doth flow. Let the fire and cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. That's the picture of his provision and his protection. Now the last verse says, when I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Bear me through, and you will go through. You'll not be abandoned. You'll not be destroyed. But bear me through the swelling current. Land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, I will ever give to you. And so God is our guide. That's depicted to us not in abstract terms, but God is pictured to us in this term of a shepherd. The people in that day would have been very familiar with shepherding and with sheep. Someone said that God is not the God of philosophers, but God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is the God who wants to be real to you, and your life journey can be an inspiration for someone else. Let's trust God as we pray to Him this morning. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your love and Your compassion. Thank You for Your provision. And even though it seems like so much may be against us, thank You that You can give us a banquet even on the battlefield of life. And even when we're boogered up, even when we're cut and scraped, thank You for Your restoration. Thank You for the oil of the Holy Spirit that can restore us and bring healing. But we also thank You for Your direction. We're headed someplace. We're not lost. We're not meandering. But You're leading us home. And I thank You, Father, that You will lead us safely across to the other side. This morning, if anyone has strayed from the path, and if they hear Your voice, help them not to run from You in fear, but may they run to You in faith. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.